Welcome to the Whiskey Congress. Honest, open talk dedicated to speaking the truth to those who are open to hearing it. Black, white, right, left. Most importantly, honest, bold, and fueled by good whiskey. In Whiskey Veritas, we are Whiskey Congress. Join the evolution.
Whiskey Congress is back in session, and Steve and I are together in the Cleveland studio.
In our original time slot of Saturday evening.
Right. It's we'll be publishing this Sunday morning, but yes, we are together. We are a few days removed from the last presidential debate. We spoke, and I kind of watched it. I was not necessarily fully cognitive at the time, and I will not admit to what substances may or may not have influenced my ability to watch it, but it was a fucking disaster to me in the sense that I just tuned out right away. It was actually the best debate of the season in the sense that they were actually civil and actually logical. I just tuned out. And again, I was under the influence.
So I don't know if the debate was a disaster or if like your circumstances were disastrous. But I didn't watch it live as I just, you know, I've just been sleeping a lot lately. So like my sleep schedule is all sort of all over the place. But I did go back and watch a good portion of it. And, you know, it was the best debate probably for Trump because he relatively played by the rules and was civil. Now, that's a low bar that we have set for the president of the United States. But what remains the same is his consistent, you know, fabrication of the truth and his, you know, boasting and taking credit for things that he, you know, just had really little or nothing to do with. He loves to throw out that line that he's done more for black people than any other president except for Abraham Lincoln, which is just so obnoxious and ridiculous. You know, he also says he's the least racist person in the room, which the last time I checked, if you're the least racist person in the room, you're still a racist, right? It's his words. He's saying he's the least racist person in the room. So I'm just like, all right, well, you're still a racist though. So that's not ideal. He throws his shit out there and it's you could see right through it, right? Like he talks about the lowest unemployment for blacks. Like, listen, Obama dropped unemployment for black people by, you know, 6 percentage points. You know, it dropped for 2.5% for you. Now, if you add the two together, then yeah, that's a massive drop. It was a massive drop under Obama. It was a little bit of a drop under you, and when you put them together, it's massive, but that wasn't because of anything that you did. You know, that was work that was meted out prior to Trump taking office. And yet he's going to take claim for it because the number looks better under him, you know, because it dropped another 2.5 percentage points, once he came into office, which, listen, that's great. You know, that's hundreds of thousands, millions of more people working, which is good. But the idea that that's all that, you know, that's all because of him, it's great. And oh, by the way, since the pandemic and the number of people who've lost their jobs and the economic instability, that number has completely reversed, right? And black people, black unemployment right now looks closer to what it did in 2008 during the Great Recession than how good it looked, you know, prior to all this.
Sure.
So, just the boasting he does, and then the fact that, you know, his big claim to fame, like, oh, look what I did for black people, criminal justice reform. Like, listen. Like, there's 98% of black people aren't fucking criminals. Like, that's just the reality of it, right? I mean, like, we constantly hear, you know, black people are constantly berated about criminal justice and police reform and all that other stuff. And all that shit is important. But the reality is 98% of us aren't fucking criminals running around doing anything wrong. You know, most of us wake up in the morning, go to work, try to take care of our families and do the best that we can. Right, whether it's a single mom or single dads or a two-parent household, whatever it is, we're no different than any other demographic out there, right? And the idea that the best thing that you can say you've done for us is criminal justice reform, which, oh, by the way, that's a half-assed thing that you've done, right? Because the criminal justice reform that you've done or that you did, right, just all it did was fix things on the back end of making it a little bit easier for people to get out once they've already been in, but you haven't done anything to reduce the number of people going in. right? Like, that's criminal justice reform, you know, is reducing the number of people going to prison, right? Going to prison for, you know, petty crimes, for nonviolent drug offenders, but reducing the number of people going in for violent offenses, and not looking the other way, but reducing the reason that people are getting rid of the root causes for people, you know, going into drugs in the first place, right? Like, that's criminal justice reform. You know, saying, well, you can get out a little bit earlier, or you're not going to get sentenced as long for this, this, and that, or we're not going to strap women, we're not going to shackle women with their wrists and their ankles, pregnant women, to a bed now when they're pregnant. Like, that's just treating people, like, humanely. Remember when that thing came through, the First Step Act? And we went through line by line, and one of the things in there is that they will no longer shackle pregnant women to a bed by their hands and ankles, right? That was one of the things that they've changed, and they're like, hey, look what we did. Like, so you're agreeing
we're no longer being draconian.
Right, like, so we're agreeing to treat people humanely. Congratulations. Right, like, so when Trump throws that shit out there, it's a slap in the face to black people in general, right? So, I mean, that's why I cannot take this guy seriously. And yet people want to throw this shit, you know, his surrogates, whether it's a Candace Owens or Rudy Giuliani.
Can we talk about
Or Rudy Giuliani, or, you know, all the other talking heads. You know, like, that really sticks in my craw about Trump, you know, when he says it, because he's almost doing it mockingly, right? I think in his mind he believes that he's that great of a president. He's done all these things, whether, you know, like, I mean, he's overlooking Lyndon B. Johnson. He's overlooking, you know, JFK. He's, you know, I mean, he'll give Abraham Lincoln credit for, you know, the Civil War and ending slavery and Emancipation Proclamation. But, you know, he's really overlooking a lot of people that sacrificed and gave up, that sacrificed something and gave something up, where he's sacrificed and given up nothing. Right, like, what does this guy sacrifice at all? Money, okay, right? Like, these guys didn't have money. They didn't sacrifice. They literally, you know, JFK, you can argue, was killed because of his support of desegregation and the civil rights movement. And, you know, Lyndon Johnson, you know, picking up that, like, he sacrificed a lot with his political career and aspirations, yeah, and respect, and put and, his, I mean, life.
He basically gave the South away,
right,
for Democrats, because, yeah,
yes,
he according to Ann Coulter, he was trying to win the black vote, but in, okay, reality, he burned.
Trying to win the black vote, the blacks couldn't vote.
Right.
We've talked about it long enough, but I just think he really needs to, you know, like, people need to understand how ridiculous it is when he says shit like that. And that's not the only thing. There's plenty of other things that he said during this debate where you're just like, that's not true. And I can literally point to things in history and facts that say that that isn't true. But yet it doesn't, like, for whatever reason, to his supporters, it doesn't matter, right?
There's that person in the audience with the Blacks for Trump t-shirt.
Right. Who just sit there and nods the whole time. And it's just like, Jesus.
All right, but I want to jump back to Rudy Giuliani, because Rudy has made a name for himself in the media in the last couple days because of his appearance in the Borat movie. And I didn't watch that until 20 minutes ago with you in my kitchen watching me watch it. And fuck, it's weird and creepy, yeah, as fuck.
Dude, I mean, I saw it a couple days ago and literally had to put my phone down, sit back, close my eyes, and then open them because I didn't like what I saw when I closed my eyes. And the funny thing someone put on Twitter, is there a magic spell so I can unsee what I just saw? And I literally had to, like, second that. I'm just like, please, if you find it, let me know. It's just bizarre. You know, it's a Borat movie. Sacha Baron Cohen, who I think is, you know, maybe a little bit, maybe underrated, but I don't know. I don't know. He's a great comic to me, or a comedic actor, I should say.
Yeah.
But Rudy Giuliani to me is just such a caricature. You know, I was telling you earlier, like, he is literally closer. Him in real life is closer to his persona on South Park, right, than it is anything else. Like, I mean, when they make fun of him on South Park, they don't have to do anything other than literally draw him and then use his own words and his own actions and deeds. Like, it is, he, you know, on Twitter, I was talking about how he, you know, it's sad to see his sort of fall from grace as the, you know, the mayor that kind of guided us through the whole thing with 9/11. Now, I've got a buddy who was in New York at the time who was just like, listen, don't let that bullshit fool you. The guy was a crook then. He, you know, it was bullshit then, and he's bullshit now. It's hard. You know, I was on the outside looking in. I wasn't in New York.
You were in Amherst, right?
Right. I was in Amherst.
And I was in Boston, right, which was much closer to 9/11.
Yeah.
And I, like many people, got sucked into Rudy Giuliani's appearance of strength in a time of crisis. And yeah, I was on board. I mean,
right,
you know, he definitely...
I think most of us did. I mean, I think we, even if
I also was on board with George Bush, by the way.
Which I was on board with everything, man. Like, we've talked about 9/11 on this show. Right. I talk about it every year, and we'll continue to do so as long as we do the show, because I feel it's important that we remember. But, I was a 20-something-year-old kid that, you know, my entire world was shaken.
Sure.
And I didn't know what to do, and all I could fall... the only thing that made me feel comfortable was falling into this idea of patriotism. Right, and embracing it, and so I did with Giuliani, you know, and Bush, even though I didn't necessarily agree with Bush and thought that, you know, he had stolen the election from Al Gore. It's just like, all right, well, fuck it, we're all one, we're all doing this together. And I saw Giuliani, and you would see him, and you're just like, yeah, Rudy, go get him, you know, go get him, you know, let's rebuild this, you know, like I couldn't wait, you know, to get back to New York and just to be there and, you know, be there with people from there and you know, hug somebody at a bodega and, you know, go to the little, there's this place we call the Pollo place where, there's this Dominican chicken that was amazing. Right. Like, we wanted to go back and all that sort of shit. But all that was because of Rudy Giuliani. And now to see this guy, this fucking weird old man, just a caricature of himself, even if all that shit back at 9/11 was bullshit, like, it was still, like, something that, it was still something that you could say, you know what, I can believe in this. This guy, now... It is beyond a joke. And I can't even say it's sad, like, because it's just like I can't. It's hard to explain, but I mean, and that's just his behavior before this.
Okay.
Before this.
So then let's get into this.
Now this shit with Borat, like, what in the? Oh my God! So he gets, he somehow grants this interview with these foreign national media members. Right?
From Kazakhstan.
Right. I mean, which, again, Rudy, man, like, the president's been accused of, you know, conspiring with Russians and Ukraine and all this other shit. And so you grant this interview with these, you know, sketchy Kazakhstanians and...
whatever. I don't even know that's
whatever, or whatever, you know, like, with and then... And then he allows himself to get in this really strange situation where he's in a bedroom with the girl and they're having a drink and he lays down and he says he's untucking his shirt. Okay, fine, if you say so, but this who goes into a bed, like, oh, let's go into the bedroom and have a drink, weird, then let me go into the bedroom, have a drink, and just lay down, okay.
Right. With a woman who's 50 years my junior.
Right. Which,
look, I'm a 50-year-old guy. If a 20-something girl wants to make out with me or do whatever, who the fuck am I to say no? But to... Yeah, I said that out loud, I know. But to pretend that that was not his intention is hilarious to me.
Right.
Because you don't go into that going, let's talk about global economics. No. You went into that room hoping something was going to happen. You're an old, horny guy. Ugh. And... you were look, it's gross. I hear you.
But I mean, I could think
it's gross if it's me. If
yes,
spin me ahead 25 years and maybe Rudy Giuliani, disgusting.
Yeah, it is. Oh, God, it is. Anyway, I don't really want to talk about it much more because it just creeps me out.
It's causing a visual you don't want to deal with,
right? Like,
because had Rudy Giuliani not been interrupted by Borat in whatever the fuck he was wearing,
and that, yeah,
saying, she's 15, she's too old for
you. She's too old for you. Like, oh
my God,
My butt pussy. What do you say? My butt pussy so much better. Anyway.
Oh, God. Oh, fuck. Yes.
It's,
you did say that. Oh, fuck.
And the weirdest part about that, right? So I just said, oh, I don't want to see this. I want to unsee it. But the weirdest part about it is, you know, Sacha Baron Cohen busts in, and you're like, man, I kind of wish you didn't, because I wanted to see where this was going.
Give it
right? Like, I did. Right? Like, you give it another. Not that I, you know, it's just like, nah. On the one hand, you risk the fact that you may end up seeing Rudy Giuliani's dick. But then on the other hand, you want to see how far this guy is willing to take it. Right? And it's just like, I do the cost benefit analysis. I'm not sure where it comes out yet, but
you know what? You're coming out as a worse person than me in this, and thank you, because I was on a bed, but you just said you were willing to go so far as Rudy Giuliani's dick.
Right. I mean, and I think I might have. I don't know, man. I don't know.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm thanking you for bailing me out.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Because I realized what a scumbag I was coming off as.
You're welcome.
And you were like, you just did the no and jumped in front and took the
bullet. Took that bullet for you.
Thank you, brother.
That's how we roll.
Thank you. And speaking of not wanting to see someone's dick, how about Jeffrey Toobin?
What the fuck, dude? Okay, so Jeff Toobin.
Oh, Jeff, your boys now. Okay.
Yeah, we're on a shortened first. Like, listen, you whip your dick out in a Zoom meeting at work. We're on a first name basis. You don't have any authority to call me Jeffrey. Fuck that here. So this dude is like on a meeting, right? On a Zoom meeting, right? And we're all like, if you're, you know, you're working in the corporate world now, we're all accustomed to the Zoom meetings, right? Like, he works for CNN. He worked, like, he's doing this shit. Like, every interview he does, everything he does is on Zoom, right? We all know how Zoom works.
And apparently we don't,
because this dude is on a Zoom meeting, thinks that he is muted and that his video is off, and proceeds to whip out his dick and start jerking off, which everyone can see, because I don't know if he was muted or not, but his video was definitely still on. So people could see, he could see them, and they could see him. And he is tubing his tuba.
And okay, that was an easy jump on your...
Okay, listen, you whip your dick out and start jerking off on Zoom, I can take the low-hanging fruit.
Fair.
All right?
Fair.
You know, and
his
excuse, besides the fact that he thought that the video was off, is that, like, he thought that one of the girls in the meeting was hot, so he just decided to start working it over. Like, what are you doing?
Is that a defense?
Like, how is that part of your anything? Like, how is that part of your statement?
What, you know, there is no defense for this. Jim, I'm not going to try.
I've done plenty of meetings at home. All kinds over
so have
the
I.
over
probably
since,
not as many as you, but
right, like since this all started back in March, I mean, I've done countless Zoom meetings of all different types for work and other projects at home. At no point in time did I think, God,
I am
horny right now. I just need to jerk my dick during this call. Let me throw everything on mute and just whip it out and start tugging. Like, there's just, at no point in time have I ever thought that.
Was that wrong?
Right, like, just at no point in time did I ever say, you know what? It's time. It is time. Like, I mean, like, sure, have I had a inappropriate thought or, you know, wanted to say an inappropriate comment during the court? Sure. But at no point did it get so far as to, you know what? We're going full salami.
We're going to DEFCON 5. The concept... All right, let me just be clear and not make it any weirder than I'm about to. The idea of being caught on camera doing that is horrifying to me. The idea of putting myself in that situation is so incomprehensible, I don't even know where to go.
Right.
Jeffrey fucking Toobin,
right,
a CNN correspondent...
First of all, okay, so if that doesn't, like, seal it with a kiss that you should stop watching CNN, like, then I don't know.
No, that's why you should start watching CNN. Who knows what's going to happen?
I don't know.
I
did the cost benefit of analysis of seeing Rudy Giuliani's dick. I don't need to do it. I don't need to see Jeff Toobin's dick.
No, I'm just saying.
and it's not worth the risk.
If Dana Pash is going to start, you know, flicking the bean, I'll watch that. Jesus. I said that out loud, didn't I?
Yeah.
I did.
Hopefully people know who Dana Bash is.
Would you not want to watch? I thought, Dana, do your thing. I'm fine with that. Yes. All right, I'm going to stop talking about that now and move on to... So... sorry, man. I can't...
Okay, not, so... Stop thinking about that. It's a weird segment of the show where we're talking about old white dudes jerking it. But
whether with or without 15-year-old Russian or Kazakhstani, whatever,
right, or in front of their working in front of CNN, teammates. Yes. But you know, on a more serious note, you know, our security forces announced that you know the Russians and Iranians are on a full-fledged mission to impact our elections, right? Cyber attacks
and the Chinese
and the Chinese. I don't think this is a surprise to anyone. You know, I mean, like, this is, like, yeah, no shit. The real issue that I have is, you know, Trump really not acknowledging it. Like, in the way he acknowledges it is that somehow it's to Biden's benefit, right? Like, they're doing it all to benefit Biden, and that it's a justification for in-person voting. Now, I'm a strong believer in the in-person voting only because I have concerns about the logistics of the mail-in voting. But the reality is, you know, Trump is definitely trying to manipulate this situation. And instead of looking at this as the president of the United States and dealing with a national security threat, he is looking at it from a political stance and from a political issue and how it's going to impact his campaign. And to me, it's just another reason why this guy isn't fit to be in the fucking office.
Well, you don't need to convince me of that any more than I already am. But I agree. Anything that's being done to delegitimize our electoral process is dangerous to us as a country, period. Yes,
it's absolutely a national security threat.
And the fact that the Russians and the Chinese and the Iranians are fucking with us,
we
do it to them, too.
Yeah, we do it to them, too. I mean, so
I don't know if it matters.
I don't know if that's a justification.
No, it's not.
And I don't know how much I buy the Iranians are really making any sort of headway. But, I mean, who knows? They could be. I don't think that they're that far advanced where they're going to have an impact. You know, the Russians and the Chinese, that's a different story. You know,
I don't think China gets as much attention as a national security threat as they probably deserve because they're a tenuous ally, to be kind.
China's not an ally. Stop that.
Okay, fine. But we have to play nice, and yet... When you get down to what they...
You know, and this is a place where I can give Trump some credit, is that, you know, he's been calling out China from the get-go. Now, Trump's got some issues with China because of his connections to China between...
His new... We now know he has...
Well, I mean, he's got a Chinese business, bank account.
Yeah.
He's got,
whatever.
Okay, fine. I mean, you know, State Bank of China has an office in his building, so that's kind of problematic, and they're paying him rent. So I don't see how that's not an issue. You know, the government of China is literally paying rent to Donald Trump. So, I mean, there should be concern there. You've got the trademarks that Ivanka got, and how fast that they were pushed through once Trump became president. There's some issues there with Trump's connectivity to the, you know, Chinese Communist Party. But at the same time, Trump and his administration have been banging the drum that China is dangerous. Now, they decided that tariffs were the way to do it. I don't agree that that was the move. I get what they were trying to do in terms of currency manipulation and other things, but I don't know if that was really that effective. The Trump administration tends to think that it's working. I don't think anyone else sees it that way. The Chinese clearly don't. Europe clearly doesn't, and they don't have a way. There's no data that suggests that these tariffs have been effective in pushing China back, right? I mean, or pushing back on China. They found other ways to continue to do some of the things that have been causing us problems. So we, you know, he's addressing it and he's talking about it out loud, which is good. But, you know, in terms of effective strategies, I don't think that the United States is there yet. And it's not just Trump. The United States hasn't dealt with China the appropriate way for the last 30 years. And that's part of the problem. That's why they are where they are. I mean, China's power is expanding as we speak. Their hold on Africa grows like every minute of every day. And that's
what do you mean by that?
They are going in and working with African governments. They are going in and buying land, mines.
Getting control of precious minerals and other
right.
shit. Because I don't think that gets talked about nearly enough.
Right. That's a huge asset for them. Now Russia's trying to do the same thing, but China's got more money and they've just got more resources to do it, and they're being very aggressive, and they have been, again, like I said, for the last 30 years, and we're not doing enough to thwart that. There's also the massive debt that we, you know, have that we owe to China.
Right.
Like, so we haven't handled it well. We've continued borrowing from them. And like I said, they're expanding their power. China is pushing in the EU, you know, in Europe. Part of the reason why we pulled out of the World Health Organization is because of, you know, China's role in that organization and how they manipulated the message about COVID. Us pulling out of the WHO, the World Health Organization doesn't seem like a smart thing on its face, but I think it was the right move because China was literally controlling the narrative on COVID, which the United States is like, fuck you. You guys are the reason why this happened. So don't fucking sit there and turn around and say, we don't know what the hell happened and it's not good, but, you know, we need to work together. No, fuck you. You guys get control of your shit, right? Whether it was an open market or a lab or whatever.
That's an unanswered question.
It's an unanswered question. We don't know what happened, but China controlling the narrative on what happened is not the right thing, right? And so there's no reason that the head of the WHO should be literally parroting the same exact thing that the Chinese are saying in their on their various state-run media outlets.
No, right? I agree with you. In fact, I of all the conspiracy theories out there, you know, Bill Gates and all this other nonsense that I will just tell you is literally yeah. nonsense. The idea that this is a Chinese viral war isn't crazy to me.
It's not crazy. And I'll tell people.
I do not dismiss that at all.
I don't dismiss it. And I'm like, listen, you want to tell me that the Chinese were working on something and they fucked up and, it got out of the lab. I'll buy that and I'll listen to it all day. I want to see proof of it.
I'll go a step further, Steve. It wouldn't shock me to find out that it was a test run.
Maybe, yeah, sure.
I'm not saying it is.
If you think about where it happened in Wuhan, you know, isolated, it's away from Beijing and all that other stuff, but then it spreads and it gets out, and they're like, fuck. Again, I buy it. I'll listen to any and all of those type of scenarios because we don't know, and I don't trust China as far as I can throw the continent, right? I can't throw the continent anywhere. I don't trust them.
Right.
So I will listen to that conversation all day, and I think the Trump administration has gotten right with their message and rhetoric. The issue is just that the execution and their plan and all that shit has not been good.
That's also fair.
But I think it's important, like, with a country like China, it is important that you are out loud saying stuff, because a big part of what the communist government is about is controlling message and controlling narrative and controlling what people say and how they perceive things. So to continue to speak out against them openly, even though they have leverage over you, I think there is value to it. Right, and I will give Trump credit for that, and that's important. But, you know, the rest of it was sloppy, and it's Trump. You know, it has Trump written all over it, and so, do I trust that Biden will handle it any better? No, you know why? Because Biden was the VP with Obama for 8 years, and they didn't do shit with China.
Oh, see, I disagree. I think they at least had a plan in place for here's how you deal with a potential outbreak. And
No. Yeah, the outbreak, the pandemic, fine. But I'm saying with China, the Chinese foreign policy, like American Chinese foreign policy, and, you know, dealing with the threat of China taking over as a world power and everything else, like, I don't think the Obama administration had a good plan for that. And I don't think any U.S. administration has had a good plan for that for the last 30 years. So, you know, Trump and them not doing a great job with it isn't a surprise. And do I expect Biden to do much better? No, because he's already been there and didn't do anything. Now, maybe he's learned and something over the last 12 years, but
yeah, I don't know. And I mean, the Chinese government has the, for lack of a better way of saying it, the ability or willingness to just throw human suffering into a fan and say, we don't give a fuck in the big picture. Yeah. And when you don't give a fuck, it's amazing how much easier it is to deal with, you know, human death and suffering. I mean, not to be completely cold-hearted and a dick about it, but
that's what they are.
Yeah.
That's what they are.
They I mean, literally give no fucks.
What I mean, they're doing to the Uyghurs, or the Uyghurs, I'm saying that wrong. But, you know, I mean, like, they don't care. And you're just dealing with a different animal as it relates to the communist government in China. And we need a better plan, whether it's Trump or Biden. We need a better plan to deal with them. And, you know, we started talking about the, you know, the cyber attacks and everything else. And that's important. I don't think that'll have a huge impact. But, you know, the threat of China is very real.
All right. Whenever we talk about the Supreme Court, I typically lob the tennis ball into your court or into your side of the court. But Amy Coney Barrett is about to get approved, right? I mean, it's a non-discussion.
Yeah,
right?
There's nothing to stop it. She's gonna get appointed and or approved, and that's it. Like, Amy Coney Barrett is your next Supreme Court justice. You know,
and she's 47 years old and Catholic as fuck. As a Catholic who's struggled with my personal beliefs in the church in the last several years, I'm a bit torn. I've got a lot of friends on Facebook that are just celebrating this as a victory for Catholicism, a victory for the pro-life movement. And I will try to leave my commentary a bit to the side, because most people who call themselves pro-life only care about abortion, and my pro-choice friends call them pro-birth, not pro-life, because once a child's born, they don't give a fuck, and that is how their behavior tends to play out. But, you know, I'm in a weird spot on this, because I've typically stayed away from the abortion issue, because I know I'm never going to have one.
Right.
I'm confident that
And I try to keep us as far away from it as possible main reason.
And I don't know. I don't know if I'm comfortable living in a country where abortion is considered murder. So therefore, an 18-year-old girl in Texas gets an abortion illegally, and now she's subject to the death penalty. And I'm not there.
Everyone slow down. We don't know. Like, first of all, I have issues with people pointing to her, how Catholic she is, just because, you know, the people pointing to it are progressively left women, liberal, whatever.
Sure.
But what if someone nominated a Muslim woman to be a judge? Those same people would be applauding, right? And the Muslim religion
would not be applauding.
No, they would, right? I mean, like, if a black Muslim woman, oh my God, the progressive left would be doing a fucking backflips, right? Would they not?
You know what?
I think they would.
Such an abstract, I can't imagine Ilhan Omar being
right. You can't. I mean, and that's, you know, and but that's,
and again, I don't even know that she's that aggressively left, to be honest with you. I mean,
right, but I'm just saying, if you had a black Muslim woman nominated for the Supreme Court, the progressive left feminine movement would, you know, for the most part, be, you know, pretty excited about it. Now, you know, looking into the religious aspect of it, like, you know, it's not going to be that far off in terms of, you know, the abortion issue in from that standpoint, as a Muslim, is not going to be really any different than a Catholic, right?
True.
So I just think it's an interesting point that people are bringing up. But the reality is, and you know, people don't like this, but I'm like, look, there's dick you can do about it, right? You blew your opportunities to control this situation a long time ago.
Yeah.
And I just don't have any, I don't have any empathy. I don't like, I just like as a party, the Democrats let people down.
This is right in your wheelhouse.
It's, right.
Elections have consequences.
They do. I mean, and I just, I've said it and you know, you didn't, like, if this is the biggest issue, if this is the most important issue, that you feel, then you should have taken a lot of different actions along the way, and you didn't do those things, and so here we are, and now, like, we're not going to go and change all the rules because you're upset, because when you do that, it comes back to bite you in the ass, and it has here. Right, like, and so, like, there's no more shifting of the rules. Now you just have to eat it and hope that she is a fair and objective judge that has the best interest of the country in mind, and she isn't an activist on the bench, and she just ends up being fair and she surprises
you. And you know what? That has happened more often than people expected.
Right? It's happened
with Kavanaugh and with Judge Roberts.
And even over the history of the court over the last, I would say, 50 years, it's happened enough to where I have faith. Now, again, she's young, and so she's got a long time to evolve. And she may evolve or she may not. She may be cut from the same cloth as a Scalia and a Thomas, and you're just screwed on it. The thing you have to hope for is that it just doesn't, you know, the topics that you're concerned about, you know, the issues that you're concerned about don't come to the bench, you know, that they feel that they're too political and they continue to skirt them. You know, I mean, like they consistently skirt Second Amendment issues, unless they feel that they can kind of get away. And it's usually, if you look at it, when they look at Second Amendment issues, it's usually things that they can get on administrative and technicalities, and not necessarily addressing the actual issue at hand. And the, you know, so with the abortion issue, I think, you know, you got to get it in front of them first, and they have to be willing to actually hear the actual case and look at the issue, and it hasn't been done to this point. And so that's, as long as that hasn't happened, then, you know, will it? I don't know. I just don't know what the court's appetite is for it, and it feels like they don't have they don't have a great appetite for it.
Now, they do seem to have an appetite for Obamacare, and that's a whole other issue, and that affects me personally because I'm self-employed and self-insured, and so the idea that pre-existing conditions, I mean, I have high blood pressure, I take medication for it.
Yep.
If that protection goes away, my ability to get health insurance could be very dramatically affected.
Right.
And that, I mean, if you want to say I'm being selfish, fine. I'm being selfish.
Right.
It punches me in the gut because I'm a 49-year-old guy with high blood pressure. And if they just say, well, you know what? You're not as good of a risk as we thought.
Yeah, I mean, because if you leave it up to insurance companies only want to insure.
Like a bad hat. Right.
They only want to insure healthy people.
Yeah. Right? That's where the money is.
Right, exactly. They don't.
They want me to pay money in and not pay money back to me if I have an issue.
Right.
And they've proven that to me in personal experiences that I won't regurgitate. But it has been an issue in my life a few times. And that's a big concern for me. And where she stands on Obamacare, which she didn't answer any questions about because no Supreme Court nominee ever answers questions anymore. Right. Whatever, but anyway, I'm very concerned about her potential nomination. I'm also concerned about what the feds are saying regarding the riots in Minnesota, because they're saying that these were right-wing activists, which I kind of said all the time, that, you know, agitators in domestic disturbances around riots relating to George Floyd and others, were literally people just stirring up shit, mostly coming from the right. I think you sent me the article that made me... So, I'll throw the ball in your court, but and I kind of am being a dick and calling you out in the sense that I said that a while ago and you were dismissive at times.
No, we go through this every fucking time, Jim. Every time, and I don't know what the disconnect is. I have always said that you have bad actors that come from outside of Antifa and Black Lives Matter and start shit. I've always said that.
Right.
But I've also said that there are members, there are people who specifically label themselves that believe in the mission of Antifa, right? That believe in the mission of Black Lives Matter, who are also just as fucking bad as the people coming in from the outside and starting shit. And that it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's, it doesn't matter if the person's Antifa. It doesn't matter if they're Black Lives Matter. It doesn't matter if it's fucking BoJack Horseman from Texas coming in, shooting up the police station and setting it on fire, right? They are all under the same cloud, right? Like, you're going on this technicality like, oh, look, see, I was right. It was this guy. That's fine. That's fine. Congratulations. But you know what? The problem is the other people, right, who are throwing bricks and setting shit on fire, who are specifically, who label themselves as Antifa, right? And they're not conservatives. They're not from right wing. They're just fucking Joe Blow, who's just like, you know what? I'm Antifa. I'm going to dress up like an asshole and run around the streets and hit people with a baseball bat. Or I'm Black Lives Matter, and I'm going to get in your face, and I'm going to scream at Rand Paul to say Breonna Taylor's name over and over and over again, even though Rand Paul, or not Rand, even though Rand Paul is the one who came up with fucking Breonna's Law, right? Like, that's a lot of, which a lot of people, you know, don't know, but he was the one who sponsored the fucking bill. So, this is believable. Like, this doesn't surprise me, and I agreed with you. We have, you know, I have a friend that, you know, I introduced to you who told me specifically,
who's in law enforcement,
right? He's in law, right? He's in federal law enforcement, and he told me specifically that a lot of the people that he was arresting, he's a federal agent here in Cleveland, right? Arresting people during, you know, back in May during the George Floyd protest, and he's like, the people I'm arresting are not from here, and they have like various missions that they're on that aren't related to. You know, they aren't related to getting justice for George Floyd. You know, like, these people are specifically here to cause problems. And I don't think they're Antifa. I don't think they're Black Lives Matter. I think that they're something else, right? Like, so that's not something that surprises me. And this is very problematic. But I don't think, like, for you to, like, you're not, like, it's like you're gloating, but it's just like, yeah. I don't understand why. Like, I don't understand why this concept is so hard. Because, again, it doesn't fucking matter who. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter because the precinct is still on fire, right? And the problem is that the damage is already done, right? Like, so you can say, oh, see, I told you it was that guy, but a majority of the people who are pissed off about it still think that it's Antifa or Black Lives Matter. So this guy...
And that's why it matters to me, though, Steve.
If you take Antifa, right, and we'll focus on them specifically because they usually are the most aggressive of the progressive left, right? If you take them, they have a legitimate history, right? And it started way back when Ben Shapiro and Ann Coulter would go to UCLA's campus, and then everybody would get all pissed off, and then people would start fighting in the streets, right? That wasn't people coming from Texas and people coming from out of state, you know, to go to California to start shit. That was local progressive left-wing guy who was pissed off about Ann Coulter starting fights with people in line. That's what that was, right? It was documented that people who were arrested had long connections to the progressive left, and they had connections to the Occupy movement. That is proof. That is something that is documented. You can find it anywhere online, right? That is where this whole Antifa being violent and all that shit is growing from. There's just, it's all over the place, and you can't deny it. There's no counter argument against it. It's just what it is, right? And from that, it ballooned out, right? And so now this guy is taking advantage of that. And my issue is with those people who started this shit from the beginning. And once they did that, now it doesn't matter that this guy came in, because that image of Antifa being this violent group was grabbed by the right wing, by Trump, by any of his surrogates, and then was given that label, giving these people the ability to infiltrate. So Antifa created their own issue for themselves by being assholes to begin with.
Okay, I understand what you're saying, and I'm not arguing with the points you just made, but I am saying that a lot of the bullshit that has been blamed on the left and
Trump I wouldn't say a lot, but there's plenty of this story out of Minnesota, the guy coming from Texas. It's not the only story. It's not the only story like that, and I think we have plenty of proof of that over the last 6 months, right?
Sure.
Since that stuff started happening, there's plenty of proof of that accelerating of people, you know, these right wing guys infiltrating, coming in, like, and we saw there was the video of the guy who was proven to be a Minnesota cop.
He was not a cop. He was accused of that. But yeah, he was a white guy from Minnesota bashing in the fucking
AutoZone. I think the guy was a cop or a former cop.
That was the accusation. I don't know if that was ever proven. But anyway, yeah, he was clearly there to start shit. He got caught on film.
Right. And so there's
burned an AutoZone down.
Right. And there's plenty of that. And I've never said that wasn't the case. My issue has always been that it doesn't matter who is doing it in the end, because whether it's, again, the guy from Texas or the liberal arts major from the local liberal arts college, the image of who and what Antifa is so supplanted in people's minds, right, that it doesn't matter who does it, because that, like, once it's done, then it only facilitates what's already out there. Right, like it continues to, like, so.
Sure, I just want to call out.
But what needs to happen is you have to shift away. Like, my thing is that my official statement is: listen, protesting in the streets has run its course. Right, for right now, it's run its course. So this thing where you get all pissed off and you want to go out and you make these demands in the street and you march, all that, like, I'm sorry, it's run its course. Don't tell me, oh, well, because of all the marching, we got shit and blah, 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 we got this done and blah. No, 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 no. What's gotten a lot of things done is media attention on these fucking travesties that have happened and continuing to put pressure on people. It's not because of protests. It's because of people putting legal pressure on these various entities, right? A lot of the shit can still, a lot of the things that have happened since George Floyd, since Breonna Taylor, have not been because of protests. It's been because of, you know, other forces, you know, forcing these municipalities to do something, right? And so I think that you reduce the amount of protesting that you do and you increase the amount of pressure that you put on. Now, look, I think that there's a balance, right? I think that maybe you need some initial, you know, gathering of the people in the public square to say, like, this isn't right. But you have to be able to, you have to quickly be able to turn that on and off, which we just don't have the ability to do, right? Which opens these various groups up for this sort of infiltration, for, you know, people that they can't control to take the situation and make it way worse, right? By starting a fire, throwing a bottle, whatever, getting the police pissed off, and then they start shooting, things like that, right? Like, so you have to recognize the limit of the tool that you're using, and then you have to go find other tools to get shit done. And that's just not what's going on right now.
I won't argue with anything you just said. I think you're 100% on. And I agree that the concept of protest dating back to the 60s was what it was at the time, and it has, using your words, run its course. You know, clogging up streets and showing up, there's better ways to do it today that don't lead to destruction in the cities, that make the ultimate point of the people who do care. And we talked about this on, I think we said this on the air, maybe instead of just hanging out, but, you know, you said basically white people need to shut the fuck up, get in the background, and stop white people from starting violence and starting fires. And I can't argue with that.
Yeah,
you said get the fuck out of the way, and right, you know, be part of it. And right, we definitely talked about it on the show, because we got into a bit of a shouting match about it. Because I'm like, are you telling me don't be part? And you're like, no, be part, but
it's not your movement. Background. Right, yeah. It's not your movement. Like, if you like, you know, I mean, one of the things about racism is, like, for you, it's, like, go talk to the people in your family that are fucking racist, right? Like, that does more to help the cause than, you know, than you being the one trying to get out in front and being the lead of a protest in the street, right? You're not doing that for me. You're doing that for you, right? Like, you're doing that for you so that people say, like, hey, look, I was this, you know, like, that's why I get so fucking tired of the Bernie crowd. Look at this picture of Bernie, right? Marching with people. Like, get the fuck, like, I mean, I'm sure his heart was in the right place, and I'm sure back then he was doing it because, you know, media wasn't, you didn't have social media.
He was different. He wasn't grandstanding in the day.
Right. But, like, get in the back. Shut the fuck up and get in the back. Keep your people from doing shit.
That leads us to Ice Cube. Because yes. Ice Cube has gotten a lot of shit because he's supposedly a pro-Trump guy. And all he did was say,
he's gotten
shit for that.
No. What I'm saying is, so laying it out, what happened was, Ice Cube comes up with the contract for Black America. Contract for America and Black Americans. And he takes it to the Biden camp. Biden camp says, we like it. We're not dealing with this right now. We'll talk to you after the election. Cube says, okay, well, I'm going to go talk to Trump. Hey, this is my contract for, you know, this is our contract for, you know, Black Americans in America. What do you think? Trump people jump all over it. We love it. They take it. They co-opt it. And they say, bam, look, this is our 5-point plan for what we're going to do for Black Americans. Cube is like, you took my shit, but okay, fine, whatever. Cube comes out and says, you know, I talked to Trump and blah, 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 blah. People immediately attack him, right, and start calling him Uncle Tom and a coon, which I don't know how many times I have to talk to people about Uncle Tom and what that means, but fine, whatever. Clearly, you never read Uncle Tom's Cabin.
Because he got beaten to death for keeping his mouth shut.
For actually being the exact opposite of what you're saying, but that actually, that's a whole other story. Yeah. We'll talk about Uncle Tom's Cabin maybe on a Evergreen show. But, so Cube then, you know, so Cube comes out and says that he talked to Trump's people and that, you know, they took his contract for Black America and turned it into their 5-point platinum plan or whatever. And he took a lot of heat from Black Twitter and your Black Thought leaders. The thing about it is, what he did was he took action. You know, he said, look, these are the principles that we find important. These are the things that will help, you know, the Black Americans in low-income situations, in these, you know, destitute situations that deal with crime, you know, like that percentage of people that just can't get themselves out of the hood. These are the things that will help them. And it's important, like, whoever's in power needs to address it. Right, like you can't say, like, and the funny thing is, like, people are so pissed off at Ice Cube about it, but like he's saying, like, look, on the off chance that Trump wins, we need to hold him to these principles, right? Are we literally going to sit here and wait until the person we like gets in and then say, all right, you help us, or are we going to take it to the guy in charge right now and say, get to work, right? So and Ice Cube has even said, listen, I don't trust Trump and his crew to do a damn thing. Right. But a closed mouth doesn't get fed. So at some point you have to start to go and hold these leaders accountable. So he goes to Trump and says, hey, here's something. What are you going to do about it? Right. He goes to Biden. What are you going to do about it? Right. And ultimately they both, you know, the fact that Biden just completely, you know, pushes it off. Hey, we'll talk to you after. That's the Democrats' MO and how they've been treating Black people the whole time. Hey, let's get this election won. Then we're going to get you guys squared away, okay? We're going to take real good care of you guys, right? Let's just make sure we get
vote for us now.
Make sure we get your vote, right? And then we're going to get this taken care of. All right, get out of here, scamp. And then, you know, like Trump, they're just like, oh, my God, look at this. You wrote it all down on paper. That's so awesome. Can I have that? Can I keep this? Just for a copy. I won't use it and splatter it all over Fox News or anything. Cool, thanks. Great. Hey, loved you in... loved you in New Jack City, by the way. I wasn't in New Jack City. right, great, thanks. All right, get out of here, thank you. Hey, somebody laminate this and get this on Fox News. What can we call it? This is our, you know what, I was at a strip club called the Platinum Horse once. Let's call it that, the Platinum Plan. Great, got it. Throw it up on Fox News, bam, there you go. Right, and everyone's attacking Ice Cube on this, but the reality is you need to look at how both camps treated this and understand that this is the position that this is the shit that we are dealing with, that Black people are dealing with as a constituency, as a group, as a demographic in this country. Like, that's how serious people take us. They don't. right? Biden camp, they say, all right, get out of here. Like, thanks, but get the fuck out of here. And the GOP is just like, that is a great looking plan. We're going to go ahead and take that, and then we're not going to do anything with it. But we need it,
but it
right
helps
now.
Us in the
we
short
need
run,
it
yeah.
right now in the short run because it's going to help us get elected. So thank you for that. Get the fuck out of our office. That is literally how this country has been treating us for the last, I don't know, 400 fucking years. Right, like, so that's it in a microcosm, and you're mad at Ice Cube, you're mad at O'Shea fucking Jackson, right? Because he just pointed it out, but Ice Cube isn't the fucking problem here.
No, and the fact that he's getting the shit he's getting,
it shows you who the problem is.
Well, and also, and it, I know so many. I've got a few friends on.
By the way, I just like to say O'Shea Jackson.
Well, I like, look, I like talking about Ice Cube. I mean, I'm a relatively new. No Vaseline. I mean,
stop, Jim.
Let me rap a little bit.
No, okay, or not.
But no, I respect him. I find him such a fascinating guy because he's been so influential, and his life story is amazing, right? Yeah. From NWA to going solo and all the shitty, you know, dealt with back in the days when it was, you know, diss tracking the, you know, NWA, and then, you know, writing Friday, which is a fucking hilarious movie. Right. So he went from gangster rapper to writing hilarious movies, starring in that movie.
Right.
And
basically building a small media empire.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he started this big league, this big three basketball league.
That's right.
You know, like some
old school basketball players get a chance to show.
I think Ice Cube isn't the problem here.
But he's the solution, I think.
I don't know if he's the solution, but what I will say is, you know, his thought process is part of the solution. And I think a lot of our black thought leaders have exposed themselves here with the way they treated this. They didn't really think about it in depth. They are blinded by their hate and disdain for Trump, which is fine. I get it. I don't like Trump. I think that the way to go about dealing with Trump is to continue to be factual, to be objective, and just look like use his own shitty track record and his own bullshit against him, right? Like, you don't have to call, like, you don't, like, you know, you don't have to go out there and call him a white supremacist, and you don't have to go out there, you like, you just lay out the fucking facts, and he does the work for you. He literally does the work for you, and the beauty of it, he does a majority of it on fucking Twitter.
Right.
Like, I mean, like, so you can literally take one of our guests, our friends of show, Existential Ben, you know, constantly pulls up old Trump tweets, you know, as they completely go against what Trump is saying right now in the moment, right? Talking about, you know, like, oh, a president is responsible for pandemics and blah, 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 blah. And then, boom, you know, now we have Trump saying, oh, well, it's not my fault. It's fucking China.
Obama should resign.
Right, all this sort of stuff. Yes. And so, I mean, like, Trump literally does it for you. So I think, you know, get away from these ad hominem attacks. Get away from these personal attacks. Get away from all this name calling and all the bullshit. And actually just use the fucking facts that are presented in front of you. And you can destroy the guy every goddamn time. And so a lot of these black thought leaders came out and was just, oh, you talk to Trump. You, how dare you talk? Like, what the fuck is this? Right? Like, I mean, are we not intellectuals? Do we not have the nuance and the maneuverability to be able to actually interact with people just because we don't believe and think the same way? Right, and that's where it gets really fucking scary with these progressives and with the left, because they are so fucking one-brained and narrow-minded and narrow-visioned. This idea that, well, if you support Trump, then you're a racist, and I can't talk to you, and I have to unfriend you, and you shouldn't even be allowed to say that, and I'm gonna boycott you, and you shouldn't have money. The whole, like, that whole mindset, right? They talk about fascism and they don't even see how close they are, you know, to some of the very things that they say are, you know, Nazi, Hitler, fascist sort of principles, right? Like, they don't see how similar some of the shit, like, they, how they want to restrict people's thoughts and people's interactions. They don't see how similar it is to the shit that's going on in China right fucking now, right? Like, so that's where I have an issue with progressives, because they take shit too far, right? And they're so dug in on their fucking principles that it's just like, listen, a lot of this shit, if you want it fixed, you're gonna have to compromise. You're going to have to compromise, right? Like, you're just not going to be able to do it your way and your way only, right? And I say it, I've said it on the show, I've said it on Twitter. These motherfuckers want to fight. They want to burn shit down. You know, like, we have to burn down the patriarchy. We have to do all this. Okay. But please understand that the guys on the other side, right, the guys that you say are the problem, right, the Second Amendment guys, like, those crazy motherfuckers that are going around with fucking AK-47s and shooting up police stations, like, they're ready to go, right? They are looking for a reason, right? You want to burn something down and you want to fight somebody, those guys are there for the fight. So the question is, are you willing to do what those guys are willing to do? Because you better be. You start a war with them, you better fucking finish it and win it, because you may be able to burn, like, you start a war with those guys, shit may get burned to the ground. Right, we may have to start all over again. But who's to say the people on the progressive left are the ones who are going to win and rebuild it in their image? Right, so you may wake up after it's all said and done and be in a way worse position than you ever fucking were. You know, right, and that's the part that, like, it sounds fucking crazy, but listen, you like, all this anger and all this dissent is building, and I tried to push it off, and I try to, you know, get people to, you know, cooler heads to prevail, but it's getting harder and harder, and all this anger and dissension is building into something, and I feel that one side is ready for the smoke, the other side is not, right? They're willing to say shit with words, but they're not willing to put the fucking action behind it, and when I'm talking about action, I am actually talking about violence. Right? They are not fucking ready for it. They are not built for it. They are not designed for it. They do not have it in them. Right? And so if you don't have it in you, then you better figure out a way to meet in the middle. That's all I got.
No, I mean, that's bold. But I mean,
that's a bold statement, Cotton.
He will not see very well, Cotton. Great dodgeball reference by Steve. But no, I know what you're saying. I mean, if you're going to drop the gloves, you better be ready to throw punches.
Yeah.
And I'm going hockey reference on you to make it as white as I can. But that's true. I mean, if you want to throw, you better be ready to throw, and you should know who you're throwing against. And I don't know what the right answer is. I don't, you know, violence is a... I'm scared about the election. To be honest, I'm scared about what's going to happen.
I'm nervous.
I'm literally, I've already voted. My vote has been tabulated or received. I've verified that. I don't know what I'm doing on election night. Maybe you and I can hang out, but I can guarantee you I'm not going to be far from a gun on election night. And I'm as libtard as they get.
Speaking of which, I want to get that new Smith & Wesson. Have you seen it?
No.
The Easy 9. I know you don't like Smith & Wesson. But
I like the revolvers back in the day. I think they've gone to shit as a company.
I mean, they still make a good gun. Come on.
All right. Well, I honestly haven't looked at anything they've done in the last 10 years because they made some garbage for a while.
They did. I don't know. This one, though, I think it's a nice little EDC, little everyday carry.
So, all right. Well,
anyway.
All right. So, there's two things I want to talk about real quick. We've gone over an hour now. I am sick and fucking tired of all of these ads saying.
This is so funny to me because I know you hate it, but
fucking
anyway,
drives me nuts. If you donate $20 to the Democratic Party now, we'll match it 500%. If you have 500%, why do you need my fucking money? What the fuck? It's like the Jerry Lewis. Don't try to stop me down. Okay. I'm gonna roll here. This is bullshit. What the fuck? If you have the money, use the money. If Bloomberg is saying I'm only gonna kick in my $100, if Jim throws in his 20, fuck you, Mike Bloomberg. And by the way, where the fuck have you been?
He's been doing a lot behind the
scenes. Good.
Very sneakily.
I'm lobbying.
If he was doing it for
I'm
the other,
to you. Go ahead.
If Bloomberg was doing the shit that he's been doing for the other side, you'd be furious. Bloomberg is
go
playing dirty.
Go.
He's
I'm
playing
you,
dirty,
Mike.
And he's just fucking shoveling money anywhere he can. It's hilarious.
The 500% match thing is bullshit.
But Jim. Okay, listen.
Don't lecture me.
I'm not going to lecture you, but just listen, bro. It's fucking marketing. Right? That's all it is. It's marketing. They're playing.
Are we that dumb?
Yes, that's the thing. Yes, we literally are. Like, if you know, they wouldn't do it if it didn't work, Jim.
You're all right. They wouldn't do it
if they didn't. If it didn't.
Am I wrong? No, Jim. You're just an asshole. Okay, then.
Right? Like, I mean, it's not like I get. Like, the problem is that you're just thinking about this logically, right?
But it's forgive me for using my fucking brain.
You're just using. You're thinking about this logically. But I mean,
see, anger. So we have anger from, yes. From in and out, whatever.
Yes,
yes, I am that guy right now.
I get it, but ultimately, it's simple marketing. You know, like yes.
And if you act now, but think about it.
The DNC already has the money, right? Like, so what do you mean you're gonna match it? Like, you already have the money. You're not gonna match anything. You already have the money, right? Like, I'm going to give you money. Right, you're gonna. What do you mean you're gonna match it? You already have the like. Oh, we'll match it. Well, fuck you. You already have it. You're not matching anything.
Exactly.
What okay, I'm saying. But for the most part, most people will see that they'll get really excited. Right? They think of matching like you know when their job matches their you know deposit into their 401k and they're like, oh, look at this.
I match.
We're killing it.
Bubble.
Right. I mean, it's just it's not like they're playing on like. Like, listen, they spend a lot of money figuring out, like, how, like, what do we need to say to get people to donate? They put the shit together. They do the studies and all that other shit. I mean, you know, when we were looking at some of the stuff for us in terms of marketing, like, it's really, like, a lot of the shit is really basic and really dumb. But that's just how it works. You know, you're talking about people who, like, first of all, most of these emails don't even get read, right? And so for the small percentage of those people who actually even open the emails to read them, right? Then, like, they see something like that, and they're just like, oh, okay, yeah, sure, that makes total sense. And I hate Mitch McConnell, so here's $100, and they're going to match it, and, like, that's $5,000 that'll go against Mitch McConnell, so yay. Right? Like, I mean, they don't take the time and sit there and do the math, right? Like, I mean, it's just, like, I guarantee it's, like, you and, like, other, like, STEM people are the only people who even fucking put that together. Everybody else is just like, fuck yeah, let's get rid of the, you know, that's all it is. Just marketing.
I am all for getting rid of Mitch
right? I mean, it's just marketing the fucking... Fine. Like, listen, we're all stupid when it comes to marketing, right? Like, how much shit in this house, right, in our studio, right, did you buy because of just really, like, there's shitty marketing?
Not a lot. I'm looking around.
Not in this room, because I can look in... There's other rooms.
Okay, well, you know what?
There's other rooms in the lair of Jim.
In the lair of Jim, okay. Before we wrap it up, and fuck you... Big Ten football played real
opened,
game today.
Opened it up today. It was great to see. They actually started last night. And I'm pissed because I was watching some really bad movie that I got sucked into.
What was it? I gotta know.
It was on a sci-fi channel. It was like it was some sci-fi. I don't know, man. Like, I didn't even get the title of it. I started watching it halfway through, and then, like,
well,
some guy...
You deserve what you got.
Some guy got eaten by an alien. I'm like, oh, what is this? And then, like, I just couldn't stop watching. Anyway.
Big Ten football.
So, I don't know. The Big Ten actually started last night, which I found out because the score popped up on my phone as the credits are rolling. I'm like, I could have been watching Big Ten football, and I'm watching this bullshit movie? God damn it. So...
I'm glad that led to that.
God damn, I was so mad. But
who was the night game? I don't even.
I think
Penn State, Iowa.
No. I think Wisconsin opened up the night before.
Okay.
And they drilled whoever they played.
Okay.
But
well, Ohio State smoked Nebraska.
I think
today.
The game was the Ohio State Nebraska game was a little bit closer initially than the score will indicate, but Nebraska fell apart. Some bad calls by the refs.
Some turnovers
and stuff like that. But it was
Justin
good to
Fields
see.
Threw one incompletion through 18 attempts.
Right.
Or something.
I mean, he looks good. But it was good to see Big Ten football back. There was like hardly anybody in the stands. You know, so it'll be interesting to see what the ratings are. You know, I'm excited that it's back. You know, it's just a weird year for sports. You know, here's another thing. This is another area like Donald Trump lied about in the last.
He brought back Big Ten football.
According
Steve.
To Donald Trump, he's
Steve,
some, like he's
he
the
brought
one
brought back
get
Big
the
Ten
fuck
football.
Out of here. God, this fucking guy. But you know what? We may need to do a bonus episode. You know what? Because we haven't actually talked much about Hunter Biden. In that situation,
I know.
You don't, but I don't know. It's worth thinking about. Anyway, behind the curtain. But that's it. That's all I got. Big Ten football back. Yay. Ohio
Justin
State,
Fields putting in the air. And
by the way, you know who played last weekend?
Go ahead. I
the UMass Minutemen.
You know why I didn't know that? Because either did anyone else.
I knew about it. I watched it. It was on ESPN2.
Who did the UMass Minutemen play against?
We played Georgia Southern.
And actually. How'd you do?
Ooh, boy.
Ooh, I wasn't boy. Even setting you up. I was just guessing.
Ooh, boy. Georgia Southern, they got in our ass. It was bad. It was bad. But, you know, I don't know.
They're not the 60 Minutemen for a reason. That was shitty. I'm sorry.
We're not very good. But you know, this is a learning year.
Who's your coach now?
Walt Bell. He's a young guy. He's
supposed to be a turnaround guy, kind of.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, I think he's on like a 5-year deal, and I don't think they're going to rush him out. He probably gets, you know, this COVID year probably buys him a little bit of time, because we're only going to play a couple games. Like we're independent. We're not in a conference. And, like, we don't have, like, a schedule. So we weren't going to play at all, which I thought was great. And then for some reason they said, actually, we are going to play. And now I realize what's happening is that teams are willing to play us a little bit, are willing to pay us to play to fill gaps in their schedule. So, like, we played last weekend our first game, which we had, like, 10 days to prepare for. And then our next game is November 27th.
We have not talked about UMass football more than anybody other podcast,
else. Any other,
including the UMass football podcast, right. If it exists.
It does. which I want to be on it at some point. I should
all right, well.
Talk to somebody about that. Anyway, but that's it. That's all I got.
All right. Thanks for listening. We are at Whiskey Congress at Instagram and Twitter. Thanks for listening. We're done and we're out.